If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. A big day on Capitol Hill for proponents of immigration reform. A bipartisan group of eight senators unveiled their framework for addressing the roughly 11 million illegal immigrants currently living in the U.S.
The vast majority of Americans believe that we need to have a legal immigration system that works. And they recognize that what we have now is not a 21st century legal immigration system.
Florida Republican Marco Rubio. The sweeping proposal would seek to overhaul the legal immigration system as well as create a pathway to citizenship for the nation's roughly 11 million illegal immigrants. But establishing that pathway would depend on whether the U.S. first implements stricter border enforcement measures and new rules ensuring immigrants have left the country in compliance with their visas. Young people brought to the country as children illegally and seasonal agricultural industry workers would be given a faster path to citizenship. President Obama will outline his vision for immigration reform at an event tomorrow in Las Vegas. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Good evening, one and all, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, all that sort of stuff, ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. Just a minute or two after the top of the hour. And I thank you for being with me tonight. 718-305-7176 is the call-in number. And I appreciate your being along for edition number two of Radio Free America. I must apologize for the sound quality, and the reason behind that is that we simply cannot get Skype to work. It just, ladies and gentlemen, it simply is not happening. So again, I'm coming to you on a cell phone. If I tell you the name of the cell phone carrier, I probably ought to have the right to bill them for free advertising. Why don't we go right to the phones? You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Duke, it's just Michael. I was just listening to the show, brother. It sounded great.
Oh, Michael, I'm sorry I didn't recognize your phone number, but, you know, I don't recognize too much anything. But I hope to talk to you later on, my good friend. Thank you for calling in. I'm sorry. The response time on the online system that we use here at Conservative Nation Radio, there are several of them out there. I remember back in 95 when the news director at WTOP in Washington, who was a good guy named Hal Brown, who was aware of the internet before most other people were. And he said to me on one occasion, and I had the best job in the whole world at the radio station. And first off, I'll set this up for you, and then I will complete it somehow before we start talking about women in combat, Hillary Rodham Clinton and her silliness before the U.S. Congress several days. I was appalled. I wanted to, never mind what I wanted to do. In any event, in 1995, I had a wonderful job flying a light helicopter and reporting traffic on a radio station in Washington, D.C., but not just any radio station. It was WTOP, and WTOP is, in my view, and I think in the view of a lot of people that work in the broadcast industry, the most important radio station in the world. And there's a reason for it. And the reason is that WTOP is the most listened to news station in the nation's capital. And Washington, D.C., obviously, is the capital of the most important, most influential, and most powerful nation state that has ever existed in the history of the human race. And I had just a wonderful job. It was on weekends during the summertime, and I was very, very happy with it, and was flying the helicopter on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and reporting traffic as people went to the beach. And Washington is not very far from the Atlantic Beach. You go over the Chesapeake Bay, and then you're on the Delmarva Peninsula, which is the landmass that separates the Delmarva Peninsula from it's the landmass that separates the Atlantic Ocean from the Chesapeake Bay. And people go to the beach every weekend during the summertime and other times of the year as well. So we wanted to provide those people with traffic, and every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the summer, I was flying, it was my helicopter actually, and reporting the traffic. And the news director at WTOP at the time was Hal Brown, who was a great guy, very good news director. And Hal Brown began talking to me one day in the summer of 1995 about the internet. And he said anybody is going to be able to basically have their own radio station. You'll be able to broadcast to anybody that has a computer. All they have to do is tune into you. And I thought, well, this is very interesting. But, in 1995, frankly, I just really was not paying all that much attention to the internet. Got to be honest with you, I kind of wish I didn't have to pay very much attention to it now. I'm only kidding. Yeah, I mean, the internet has changed everything. And one of the things that I think the internet is changing is the way information gets out to people. Certainly the way it gets out to Americans. The mainstream, liberal, leftist, mainstream media simply does not have a lock on things the way they used to. They just don't have a monopoly on information the way they used to. At one point, several years ago, 60 Minutes was interviewing somebody, and that person decided that they were going to videotape their own interview. Then the 60 Minutes interview went on the air, and it made the individual that was being interviewed look like some kind of a stark raving lunatic. I forget exactly who it was, but a day or two later, that person put up on the internet, on their own website, the actual unedited interview, and it became very, very clear that 60 Minutes had edited the interview to make the individual look the way they wanted him to look. And this guy was a Republican governor or something like that. I don't even remember what he was. But boy, did they want to slam him. They wanted to get him, and they wanted to make him look as bad as they could. And that, of course, is exactly what 60 Minutes did. That's what they did. And it was it was really just kind of a wipeout. They just wanted to make Republicans look bad. We all know about CBS, don't we? 718-305-7176 is the number. We do have another caller. You are live on Radio Free America, conservativenationradio.org. Who is this?
Hey, how you doing? This is Chris from Maryland. How's it going?
Hey, Chris, how are you doing? Thanks for calling in tonight.
Well, I'm doing not bad for living in Maryland, but other than that.
I understand. I can empathize, sir.
I did want to say something. I just tuned in. I was looking at what your talking points were, and I did want to say something about it's kind of funny that almost the same day that we're allowed to put women in combat, that Obama comes out and says if he did have a son, he wouldn't allow him to play football. That's more than hypocritical and stupid, but, as you're talking about other – If you're talking about stations that are so in the bank and in the tank for him that he's coming out and calling out just a couple things, it's just I'm curious of how you take the hypocrisy and stupidity. It's become a little bit of a problem for me.
Chris, I'm sorry. Repeat that if you would, sir. I didn't get your question entirely.
Well,
please say again.
The hypocrisy and stupidity of Obama coming out and saying one thing and the media doing exactly what he wants and he's lying about conservatives and all. I'm just curious of how you deal with the stupidity being on Blog Talk. You're on fairly regularly, I take it.
Yeah, every
day. I deal with the media every day. I've never seen this point of I've just never seen this point. I've never seen so many stupid people who buy into everything he says, but at the same time, the president's complaining that the media's not on his side enough, that he can't put enough propaganda out there.
Yeah. He the other day in the 60 Minutes interview, I think, along with Hillary Clinton, he said he made some allusion to the idea that the incentive for media coverage ought to be changed. I mean, this is just basically a blatant attack on the Second Amendment, on the First Amendment. Well, he's already made a blatant attack on the Second Amendment,
well,
but
okay.
It's a blatant one on the First Amendment.
Well,
and,
isn't the let me ask you this: isn't the attack on the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms? Isn't that the last resort?
I don't know whether Madison and Adams and Jefferson and the other founding fathers, the framers of the Constitution, I don't know if they viewed that as a last resort, but it is obvious if you look through the Federalist Papers that they believed absolutely that an armed population was necessary to make sure.
Didn't Russia and didn't Nazi Germany think that was the end game? Once they took the arms away from people, after they attacked everything else.
That is, any tyrannical dictatorship, any truly left-wing government will not tolerate dissent. They will not tolerate an armed population.
Okay.
They will not tolerate people having the physical means to enforce elections.
But then, doesn't all this make sense?
We have that here. No, there is no liberal in this country that wants an armed population, Chris. Not one.
I know,
they
but and everything
people,
he does makes and we have to understand history. I mean, the founding fathers said if we're not a moral religious society, we will not last. And we've walked
that, is
that
exactly
long
correct.
Ago.
That is exactly, and you'll notice that one of the things that the left has been attacking incessantly for the last half a century is the spiritual and religious basis and beliefs of the American people. The left absolutely despises that. Chris, thank you so much for calling in, my friend.
No problem.
I do hope to hear from you again. Have a great evening, sir. All right, 12 minutes after the hour, this is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. Thank you very, very much for being around. You know, I think Chris hit on a couple of very good points, and the subtext of everything that we do here is that there is strength in conservatism, and that is obviously why we're all here. And my friend Brenda Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since way back when, since the very beginning, since day one, as they say, since the Big Bang, if you want to look at things that way. And frankly, Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, Ann Coulter, Nikki Haley, they've got nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. It's Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. That is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard. And incidentally, guys, you conservative guys are welcome too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. It is, and we are, in fact, real conservatism for real conservatives. Listen up, men. You know, I want you to tune in tomorrow night. We're going to be hearing from Brenda and or Barbara later on this evening, and they're going to update us on their show tomorrow night. They have a wonderful program planned. You know, I'm a guy, and if I found out that there was a room that was filled with women, you better believe that's where I would be. My girlfriend just gave me the dirtiest look. Absolutely unbelievable. In any event, we will be talking a little bit more about Hillary Clinton's testimony. We're going to be talking about the idea of women in combat. I've got to be honest with you, that's just a, you know, to me, an utterly absurd idea. 718-305-7176 is the number here. at Radio Free America at conservativenationradio.org. Thank you very much for being along. We had a ridiculous cold snap here on the East Coast, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Upper Midwest. You may be listening in a place like, as Lee J. Cobb once said, sunny California, no less. But here on the East Coast now, it's warming up a little bit today, and frankly, I think that that is good news. In any event, I'm going to take a quick break here. We're going to get to more of your calls, more bloviating, all that sort of stuff. It's all coming up, so stay right where you are.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. 16 minutes now after the hour. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. 718-305-7176 is the number. And we've been doing what you've all come to know and love by now, which is the kind of freewheeling sort of anything goes type of talk show that Radio Free America has already has a nationwide reputation for, I'm sure. 718-305-7176. Did you see any of Hillary Clinton's testimony before the United States Senate the other day? Did you see any of it? I've got to be honest with you. I was able to watch a little tiny bit of it here and there. And frankly, I was disgusted. I mean, can you imagine somebody like John Hay or Alan Dulles giving those kinds of answers to the United States Senate? Frankly, I can't. I thought it was unbelievable. And when she lost her temper and said, "What does it matter now whether they were killed because of a video or because of people that decided they were just going to go out and kill some Americans that night?" Well, Madam Secretary, it does matter. It matters because you should have done what was necessary to prevent it in the first place. The late Ambassador Stevens had cabled you and said that he was very, very concerned about his safety, and he was very concerned about security, and you did nothing. You did nothing about it, Madam Secretary. You need to basically, look, the fact of the matter is the moment WikiLeaks happened a year or two ago, whenever it was, she should have been fired right then and right there. There's no question about it. She should have been fired the moment WikiLeaks happened. And she was not fired because she and Obama are ideological soulmates. The two of them simply don't like this country very much. That's all there is to it. They really don't like it at all. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Thanks very much for being along tonight. I hope that you'll call in. It looks like we do have a couple of people in the chat room. This is one of the major differences between internet radio and terrestrial broadcast radio. When you go into the chat room, or when you're doing this, you can sometimes go into the chat room and you can see who's in there. Well, we do have quite a few people in there tonight, and I would be very interested in hearing from basically all of them at 718-305-7176, now about 20 minutes after the hour. Thanks a lot for being along. The Secretary of State, frankly, is a disgrace. I think that everything that she stands for is a disgrace. Her absolute deliberate refusal to acknowledge the safety concerns that surrounded our consulate in Benghazi and our embassies and ambassadorial facilities all over the Middle East, in my view, is inexcusable. It is either absolute incompetence or she is someone who simply is comfortable with the idea of this country being harmed. I don't think that there's really any other way to describe it. And we saw that when she gave her testimony a couple of days ago. And when Rand Paul was unloading on her, when John McCain was unloading on her, I was cheering. And they should have unloaded on her. And I'm glad that they unloaded on her. And I am certain that there are Americans everywhere that watched that or perhaps heard it or maybe even downloaded it off the internet later on that were glad that Hillary Clinton was being lambasted the way that she was. And she should have been. There isn't any question about the fact that that woman is absolutely no friend to this country whatsoever. I mean, how could she be? How could she be? And what is with the Egyptians getting a hold of American F-16s? I've got to be honest with you. What on earth is up with that? Is that the most incomprehensible thing imaginable? How long do you think it's going to be before the Islamo-fascist government of Egypt decides that they're simply going to abrogate their decades-old peace treaty with Israel, and they're simply going to, you know, attack? They're going to get with Syria. They'll get with Jordan. They'll get with Saudi Arabia. They'll get with Iraq, and they'll get with Iran, and they'll get with Chad and all the other Mohammedan countries in the Middle East, and they're just going to go ahead and they're going to attack. I mean, seriously, folks, what on earth do you really think is going to happen when that happens? You think the Israelis are just going to sit there and take it? I don't think that they are. What do you think? 718-305-7176. That is the number here at Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here, your buddy. And this is conservativenationradio.org. I mean, if Hillary was not enough to really get your blood boiling, then the president's and the Democrat-controlled Senate's efforts to simply rip up the Second Amendment, if that doesn't make it clear what their agenda really is and what they really want to do and what they really have in mind, I really don't know what is. I mean, is that seriously? Does that not make things absolutely clear? The last thing in the world that they want is the American people to be able to say, no, we don't care what Washington says. There are going to be elections, and people that lose those elections are going to leave office. That is the last thing in the world that the left wants. The left doesn't want to submit to the electorate. They don't want to answer to the voters. They want to get in there, have and seize permanent power, and they don't want to answer to anybody. They're happy with them having guns, but they don't want John Q. Citizen. They don't want regular voters. They don't want anybody else to have weapons. It's really quite simple. And it's not their words. It's their actions. You don't judge people by their words. You judge them by their actions. And if you're a conservative, you understand that. If you're a conservative, you know, welcome aboard. Give me a shout, 718-305-7176. The Sandy Hook shooting, obviously, an intolerable tragedy. There's really no other way to describe it. There's no question about it. That is exactly what it was. And it was one of the worst ones because it was children. I read on the internet a few days later, and of course, as we all know, you can't put anything on the internet that isn't true. The worst child massacre murder in this country took place at a school somewhere in the Midwest in the 1930s. And a guy, I think it was a janitor, was very, very mad at the school. And what he did is he built a bomb and he put the bomb in the bottom of the school in the basement, and it blew up and it killed like 120 children or something, you know. And now the Sandy Hook tragedy in December was horrible. There's no question about it. But there can be nothing under any circumstances that is an acceptable reason to abrogate the Second Amendment. It's really that simple. And this is exactly what the left wants to do. There isn't any question about that. There never really has been. But whenever, you know, as Rahm Emanuel once said, you never let a good crisis go to waste. And that's exactly what these folks are doing. They view this as a crisis. They know it's a crisis. And they are definitely not going to let it go to waste. It's that simple. They're going to do whatever they can to try to take away our rights. Now, nowadays, I blog a lot. I live in Delaware, and I blog an awful lot. I have a column on examiner.com. There is a heavily viewed and subscribed to website that is called DelawarePolitics.net. I put up some commentary a couple of weeks ago about the Second Amendment. It was called The Second Amendment and the Other Nine. And it got like 90 comments in a couple of days. I mean, people just went ballistic. And the left keeps saying, oh, no. The government will submit to the election because they don't have any choice. They have to, as if the Constitution is going to make them do something. At the end of the day, the Constitution is words on paper, and that's all that it is. So I did a little research, and I found something called the Battle of Athens, Tennessee. And this took place in 1946 or 47 or something, 1948 maybe. And basically what happened was there was a corrupt couple of people that were sheriff and state senator, and they just kept swapping one with the other. They had corrupt sheriff's deputies working for them. The corrupt sheriff's deputies were paid for each ticket they wrote, each summons they issued, each citation they put out there, each arrest they made. That's how they got paid. So there was an incentive for them to write as many summonses and citations and arrests and all that stuff as they possibly could. A bunch of veterans came back from World War II, and you don't mess around with World War II veterans. I mean, seriously, you just don't. And they ran a couple of candidates for the county and the local town, Athens, et cetera, called the Nonpartisan Veterans Party or something like that. And when the elections came, when the corrupt sheriff and his corrupt deputies realized that they were losing, they began counting the ballots in the county courthouse, which under Tennessee law at the time is where they were required to count the ballots. They had to do it in public. And they realized to their horror that they were losing and that they were absolutely being trounced. And in a couple of seconds, I'm going to tell you what they did. We do have a break coming up here. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. We will have more of your calls in just a moment, so don't go away.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Course. Who's asking?
I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here? You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeedy. Thank you very much for being along. 31 minutes after the hour. Duke Brooks is my name. This is conservativenationradio.org. This is Radio Free America. You know, it's kind of like the radio business. You're in, you're out. Hello, goodbye. Same old thing, but I'm very glad that you're here. 718-305-7176 is the number. And I was telling you a moment ago about the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, that took place right after World War II, and corrupt sheriffs and corrupt officials basically had a lock on the town. They didn't want anybody else to be able to gain office. They held the election as was required. The U.S. Justice Department apparently investigated the corrupt practices of the corrupt sheriff in that town, but they didn't do anything about it. Surprise, surprise. Anyway, a bunch of veterans, World War II veterans, they were constantly being harassed and busted and arrested and everything. And they got together, they filed, and they ran for office. And the sheriff's deputies realized that the sheriff was going to lose. And they were counting the ballots. And they decided to lock up the ballot boxes and take the ballot boxes to the jail, which was illegal under the Tennessee state law and the Tennessee state constitution. And what the veterans did is the veterans went to the jail and they said, you're breaking the law, and they were told to get lost. And the veterans went to the armory, and the veterans got some M1s. They got a couple of BARs, apparently. They got a Thompson submachine gun, and they attacked the jail and the sheriff's office, and their election was certified, and they won. That is why the people must have the right to keep and bear arms. You are on Radio Free America and conservativenationradio.org. Who's this?
Hello?
You're on the air, sir.
Oh, yes. How you doing?
Good. Who's this?
Harlan.
Harlan, how you doing? Thanks for calling.
Not bad. I'm the son of a Navy corpsman, World War II, Iwo Jima, Okinawa, signing the peace treaty at Tokyo Bay, and the father of the infantry marine.
I didn't
do my time in the military at all, but I've learned a lot over these last few years that my son's been in, and done a lot of reading, and the battalion we're part of is pretty informative, and there was a couple issues I wanted to kind of bring up sort of the demasculization of men, first of all. Then my ultimate point is that the military was the last holding, I believe, of what was good. And I don't want to use the word holy in the religious sense, but more of a spiritual sense, meaning, you know, we all do wrong and right, but our military has been known to be pretty strong and solid through all the years. But my point was, it was the last place we had God, the last place a man could be a man, a woman could be a woman, and I think Obama and his people, and Hillary included with the Clintons, have been doing everything they can to destroy that last good place in America. And I agree. Frustrated. You do? Good.
Absolutely. There's no question about it.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I have an uncle that's brother to my father who's passed away, but he's quite a big guy in a large church in Nebraska and has quite a few friends. But he, knowing, you know, my son was in the Marine Corps, he's emailed me quite a bit of things from a chaplain in the Marine Corps. And literally when Don't Ask, Don't Tell got repealed, that chaplain was told within a week that he could not use any of his religious beliefs about sexuality anymore outside of the chapel at that given point from then on. Destroyed all his freedom of religion, you know, as any Christian that we know is under attack all the time. I mean, I'm not a perfect Christian. I'm not a great Christian. I try to teach basics to my three boys, give them something to grab onto, and hopefully the passion of, you know, life will take them to where they need to be. But to have the utter destruction that just keeps occurring day after day, I mean, I feel like I can't even breathe half the time for the amount of crap that this administration's doing to us, you know?
You know what, Harlan? I agree with you 100%. You are right. Both of my parents fought the Axis in World War II. My mom fought the Nazis, and my dad fought Japan.
Wow.
We won. There was absolutely no question about it. We won. My mom saw Dachau up close and personal a couple of hours after it was liberated by the 442nd Regimental Combat Team of the U.S. Army, the Nisei Regiment.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad saw how the Japanese treated prisoners, and it's, you know, these are, when you look all through history, you will see that the worst crimes that are perpetrated against other people are perpetrated by governments.
Correct.
The Holocaust was done by a government. It was Stalin and his government that starved 30 million of his own people to death in the 1930s. It was Mao and his government that starved 60 million people in their own country to death in the 1960s. And, you know, our government would do the same thing if they could get away with it.
Get away with it, that's right.
But they
The reason is
that there are over 200 million privately owned firearms in this country, and the fact of the matter is there isn't a policeman in the country that will agree to the idea of going around and trying to confiscate people's weapons. They're not going to do it. They're not going to allow it to happen. And, you know, not a real policeman in this country. And
no, right, right.
You know, I think. Now, where are you, in Massachusetts?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
I'm in the worst part of the nation next to California and New York as far as gun laws. We have the one of the, I'll just tell you quickly, one of our craziest gun laws is in Massachusetts, I don't know if you know this, but the oldest armory in the nation is Springfield Armory.
I've been
Springfield.
There.
Oh, I haven't yet. I should be punished for that. But
No, it's actually very cool, and it's
That's
now
what
called
I heard.
Technical Community College. It's now called STCC or STIC. And that's what it's called, and it's a very, very interesting place. Very interesting.
I really have to go there, as well as the basketball museum of, you know, Naismith, in the sort of the same vicinity. But what I was going to say was, in Massachusetts, they passed a law. I don't know if it was 10 years ago or 12-ish. For every manufacturer and every single model of pistol, rifle, shotgun, you name it, that they have, if they want to sell that in Massachusetts, they have to give the state of Massachusetts $10,000 a year for each model of every weapon of every caliber, on and on and on, in order to sell in Massachusetts. So if you have 32 models, you know, it's quite a bit of money a year. And we know, you know, people squawk about, you know, the gun industry making all this money. But when you look at, I don't think they're making $300 on a $500 firearm. Personally, I don't know. But still, to be able to sell those kinds of numbers, to pay those testing fees, as they're called, safety fees, is insane. So Springfield Armory gave them that large finger in the middle back then and said, well, we're not going to sell in Massachusetts, you know? That's how crazy Massachusetts is. You know, it blocks all that business, that flow of money, the commerce and everything.
Yeah.
You can't buy a new Glock pistol, only a pre-ban of 94. Until now, you can now buy a Generation 4 Glock, but you can't buy a 3, a 2, or a 1 unless it was a pre-ban, 94, which they didn't have 2s and 3s. I don't think they had 2s, you know, 94 on.
What is the caliber of the Glock? Is it a 9mm?
They have 9, 40 cal, 10 mil, 45 cal, and I think they make a 357, and they make a 45 gap, which is a, I don't know the round, but I believe it's just a police use only round.
Mm-hmm.
So they make about 5 or 6, you know, different calibers or, you know, sizes. They're beautiful, beautiful pistols. I mean, I kind of began with that, so that's what I know, but I think a lot of people don't like them, you know.
Well, do you shoot like as target practice for recreation, or do you have these weapons professionally?
Just as I guess I'm an amateur, but as a licensed to carry individual that wants to uphold the Second Amendment and protect my family or my belongings. I've raised all my boys. Teaching them the fundamentals of shooting. I'm not a hunter. I hope soon to be this coming winter. I get close this year with a friend, but I still want to learn how to, you know, prepare my own meat and things like that. But
You would be hunting deer for venison? Is that primarily what you would be doing?
Yes, I have a friend that owns about 100 acres. We're a little north of Boston, up in Cape Ann area, Massachusetts. You know, Gloucester, Essex, Ipswich, that whole part of the East Coast. And
How close are you to Marblehead?
Oh, that's about 20, 25 minutes away, you know, with traffic, of course, because...
Yeah, and so it's not very far from Topsfield, which is where the Massachusetts State Fair is held, correct?
Correct, yep. Top Field and Fair. Yeah. One of the oldest.
In Marblehead, a little bit of time in Boston. It is a wonderful place, but their ideas up there are absolutely absurd.
Their thinking is
as bizarre and weird and strange and emotional and based on feelings as it can possibly be.
It's so horrendous.
It's just weird. I don't know how you can stand it, Harlan. I really
I asked myself that. My youngest boy is 16. I said, I got two more years here. They all know I'm either going to beat feet to Arizona or Mexico. I feel like we should just take over Mexico and force, you know, everyone north, and we'll take the mid part of Mexico. Enjoy our time down there.
I think you're right about that. Alan, I've got to run, but I sure appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the time.
I'll hear from you again.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, my friend. Have
a great
evening, sir. God bless you and your activity. As John Paul II once said to Charles Corralt at the Vatican, there are so many liberals in the media. And one of the things that they want to do is they want to convince people like you and me that conservatives like us are in the minority. But a Gallup poll makes it clear Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1. And if you respect American history and traditional American values, there is a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives like us can meet up, exchange ideas, find out what's new in the conservative community, and just generally be together. So go to traditionalamericanmovement.com, join up, post your writings, swap ideas, and be a part of the conservative revolution. All on traditionalamericanmovement.com. It is a liberal-free website, and I do hope to see you there soon. Anyway, it is 13 minutes before the hour. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Thanks very much for being along. You know, we are proud, those of us here at conservativenationradio.org, we're proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. Oh, no. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There really is nothing that comes close to the protection and the service that is offered by LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org. And click on the LifeLock banner to begin getting that level of protection right now. More of your calls are coming up on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. 12 minutes before the hour. Stay right where you are.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higg and Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
I agree with that sentiment 100%, and if you're listening tonight, I'm sure that you do as well. Duke Brooks here, Radio Free America, coming at you. This is conservativenationradio.org. Our phone number is 718-305-7176. I'm very glad that you're along tonight. We have been speaking a little bit about Hillary Rodham Clinton, who I think is the most absurd and complete disgrace in the history of Foggy Bottom, no question about it. We've been talking a little bit about the firearm situation. We'll talk about that a little bit more in hour number two, which is going to be coming up in just about 10 minutes from now. So make sure that you stay around. During hour number two, we will be hearing from Kevin Wade and his fantastic radio feature called Common Sense with Kevin Wade. And also we'll be talking a little bit about this day in Civil War history. We are now in the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. This is the sesquicentennial of the Civil War, as they say. Are you into history? Because I got to be honest with you, I am really into history. I mean, the Civil War, World War II, in my view, these are some of the most amazing and excellent things that, they're amazing and they are inspiring and they are just tremendous events that took place. And I admire the people that actually participate in it, the people who lost their lives, gave their lives for our country all through our history. I have never been in the military myself, and I've got to be honest with you that the older I get, the more sense of shame I feel for having never been in the service of my country. And I look back now and I think to myself, what was I thinking? Because I couldn't get the job that I wanted in the military, I decided not to go in. I could have gone in to the National Guard or the Reserves or something as a helicopter pilot with a warrant commission in the Army. But some people told me that the boot camp you have to go to is really tough. And frankly, I'm just not that much of an athlete. And I did a lot of rowing and things like that in college and jumping out of airplanes. That's not the most athletic thing in the world. Rowing is. And after about 2.5 years, I figured, that's just enough. I'm just not all that interested in it anymore. And it was brutal. I mean, it was really brutal. You've seen the collegiate 8-man boats. Maybe you watched the Olympics last summer. I did watch some of the crew events. I thought it was, they knew what they were doing and they were very, very good. And just a tiny little bit of effort applied over a mile or two, that can make a huge difference. It is an amazing, very, very exertion, focused sport. Jumping out of airplanes, on the other hand, it simply does not require the same amount of physical stamina that a soccer game or a regatta, rowing involves. It just doesn't. Now, the adrenaline factor in jumping out of airplanes is something else. That is different. And it it does, without any question, it is, without any question, a very, very serious adrenaline situation. There's absolutely no doubt about it. However, I don't think I'm going to jump anymore. I put in 146 jumps, and the last one, which was on August 11th, 1980, was a doozy, as they say. Let's go to the phones. You are live on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Who's this?
Hello, this is Bill from Delaware.
Bill, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I hope to not throw you completely off topic, but I'd like to know that how would someone go about expressing themselves to the current corrupt regime, but, you know, in some sort of civil disobedience way?
Well, you know, unfortunately, unless you were able to get a very large number of people, government loves to squash people like they're bugs. They love to do that. And unfortunately, that's what they would do. I mean, you know, unless you could organize a large number of people, you know, to do things like not pay taxes, make improvements to your house without getting permits, you know, do that sort of thing. I think the only thing that would happen is that you would get in trouble. And, you know, unfortunately, I think if I'm hoping that we can all get together and somehow get the Republicans to get out there in the next election and expand Republican control of the House and maybe turn over the Senate. I mean, a liberal state like Delaware, we're not going to be able to really do that because, as you probably noticed in the last election, only in Sussex County did the Republicans hold their ground and actually expand it. In the other counties, there were 31 races in Delaware where the Republicans didn't even have a candidate. You know, it's kind of disappointing, but I hope that someday people will get together and will decide that there are certain laws that they're simply not going to comply with, and that government at that point will realize it either has to change its ways or it, you know, it just has to accept the idea that in this country the people govern. What do you think?
Well, what I think is there has to be some way that we can express our views against the corrupt, you know, people in the White House right now. Is there any way we can do that?
Well, the left has been very, very good for decades at holding large marches and rallies and Occupy Wall Street and all this kind of nonsense. But the, you know, the media won't cover it. You know, that's one of the problems. The media simply will not cover it. And as a result, you know, for instance, there was a huge march on Washington a few days ago, the March for Life. It's been going on in D.C. now for 40 years. People that are very, very upset with the Supreme Court decision that made on-demand, unrestricted abortion legal in this country. I understand where they're coming from, no question about it. And the media doesn't cover it. Fox News does. Even NPR, to their credit, covered it. But none of the networks covered it. I think ABC mentioned it for about 15 or 20 seconds, and that was it. But I don't know. Maybe everybody ought to get together and say, you know what, you get 200,000-300,000 people in an area that all decide we are not going to pay our taxes and the companies that they work for are we're not going to pay, that would get their attention. I don't know if there's anything that we can do to get Obama out of the White House if the Senate were controlled by Republicans and the House were controlled by Republicans. They could impeach him, but they're probably, you know, I'm not really sure what high crimes or misdemeanors he has committed by now. You know, I just don't know.
All right, so So if I'm angry at this corrupt administration in the White House, there's really not too much I can do about it then, right?
At this moment, Bill, I really don't think that there is. I think that by people like you calling into shows like this and even into broadcast shows, writing letters to the editor, doing as many things as you can online and as many forums as you can get a hold of, talking to your neighbors, making sure that you always vote against Democrats, that would certainly be one thing, and get your neighbors to vote against Democrats too. That would be one thing that you could do. I mean, the fewer Democrats are in office, the safer our country is. There isn't any question about that.
Well, I can certainly concur with you on that.
Well, I must run. I've got a break coming up, but thank you so much for calling in, my friend, and I hope to hear from you again next Monday.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. It is the top of the hour. More of your calls coming up, so don't go away.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
This is conservativenationradio.org. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here. Thank you very much for being along. Our number is 718-305-7176. Always happy to hear from you. Occasionally, I will go over and look and see what's going on in the chat room, something that I, don't recommend other hosts do, but I'm one of these guys that has lived with the rules for about 40 years, and for that reason, I can break the rules. You know, what are you going to do, right? 2 minutes after the top of the hour, the number is 718-305-7176. Thank you very much for being along this evening. We have been speaking amicably and chatting, you and I, about Hillary Clinton's testimony on Capitol Hill the other day, which I thought was one of the saddest and most absurd performances that I've ever seen a public official give. I mean, you know, even John Dean did a better job than she did. It is just absolutely bizarre. But as if that were not quite bizarre enough, as if that were somehow the icing on the cake, oh no, there's more. Now, as Leon Panetta has decreed, I had no idea that he could simply do that. Well, I guess as Secretary of Defense, he can sort of make any kind of a decree he wants to, because after the President and the Vice President, he is the top guy in charge of the military now. He says that women will go into combat. And I must be honest with you, I am opposed to the idea of women going into combat. If you're a conservative, you probably are too. We have heard quite a few different reasons. We have heard, well, women are weaker, women are subject to monthly cycles. We have heard that women are too emotional and that sort of thing. I've got news for you. None of those things are the reasons why, if you look back all through history, you will see that women have never engaged in combat in numbers that are meaningful enough to be appreciable in any kind of a real way. They just are not. And let's talk for a moment, shall we, about why that is. The fact is that women are simply too reproductively valuable to to be risked in combat. That's just the way things are. They are too reproductive. They are just too valuable to be put at risk in combat. It just, you know, a female has about 200 to 300 eggs in her life. That's how many chances she has to reproduce. She's not going to have 200 or 300 children. That isn't going to happen. But the fact is, they simply cannot be put at risk in combat. It just it cannot happen. Males, on the other hand, well, you know, as they say, eggs are dear and sperm is cheap. And those are just the facts. That's not an anti-male thing. We have our job to do. Women have their job to do. All through the human race, women have been idealized and protected. Males are replaceable, expendable, and unimportant. And wars, at least in my view, and look, I hope you will chime in on this. 718-305-7176 is the number, and I'd like to know what you think about it. Hey, you know, if you're a liberal, if you're a leftist, if you can't wait to see your sister up on the front lines where she'll have her head blown off by some crazy Mohammedan with an RPG, okay, that's on you, and I'd like to hear why. 718-305-7176. The way I look at it is that wars are fought to reduce the number of males. And that works for a certain reason. And it works this way. When large numbers of males assemble on the field of battle to kill each other off, there are two presumptions at work. The first one is that bigger, tougher, more fit males will eliminate smaller, weaker, less fit males. That's number one. Number two is that the remaining males will then have better reproductive odds to mate with desirable females than they would have before the deadly combat takes place. Now, what this does is this puts the reproductive odds more in favor of males after such an event than in favor of females. Women hate war because war is very, very contrary to their reproductive interests. Very against their reproductive interests. I mean, that should be obvious because after a war, well, look at France. In 1919, there's actually a great song by John Cale called Paris 1919. I'm going to have to see if I can get that and use that as music one night here at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org, where the number is 718-305-7176, incidentally. But if you were a male in Paris, in France, in 1919, you would have had an incredibly beneficial ratio of males to females. It would have been in your favor, especially if you were intact, if you had not been maimed or been an amputee or suffered some other kind of horrible combat wounds or disfigurement, as was very common in World War I. Something like more than 20% of all males in France, in England, Britain, and Germany, and Austria, and the other countries that fought in Europe in World War I, something like more than 20% of their male population between the ages of 18 and 30 was gone, just dead. They weren't there anymore because they had been in trench warfare with the other guys for 4 years. And I mean, this put the surviving remaining males in a very, very beneficial position in terms of the reproductive choices that they could make. The number of females was not decreased, but the number of males was. And that meant that there were going to be, everybody wants to trade up the evolutionary ladder. Everybody wants to combine their genes with somebody who they think has better genes. That's the way things work. And if you were a surviving remaining male after a major world combat like World War I, then you would have had a much better shot. You might have been ugly. You might have been short. You might have been, you know, kind of a weakling. You might have been somebody that during the war did nothing but sit in an office and type out forms or something like that. You might not have been particularly bright, but after the war was over, you would certainly have had a better series of reproductive choices confronting you. This is the primary reason why I am utterly and completely opposed to the idea of women in combat. They are simply too valuable to be risked. They have very few reproductive choices, reproductive opportunities, only 200 or 300 eggs. And at the same time, they have a much shorter span of reproductive viability, which males do not. We can make babies until we're 80. I think it was Jimmy Doohan, Jimmy Doohan, you know, the guy that played Mr. Scott on Star Trek, Lieutenant Commander Montgomery Scott of the starship USS Enterprise. You know, I mean, that guy, he was married to somebody, or he had a girlfriend or something, and he was 82, and she had his, I mean, it's unbelievable, but that's something that males can do, and it's something that females can, and as far as I'm concerned, that is a perfectly valid reason to prevent females from going into combat. They are simply too valuable to be risked. And we're going, if we get involved in some kind of a major war with China or the Mohammedan countries or something like that, and we lose 15 or 20,000 females who are between the ages of 18 and 25 or something, that's going to be very, very bad. That will not be a good thing. That's why I'm against it. If you are against it, or even if you're for it, you can give me a call. 718-305-7176. It is 12 minutes after the hour. Now, let's assume, I'm gonna really stick my neck out here. I'm gonna really go out on a limb. Let us assume that if you are listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. Is that a fair assumption? I mean, seriously, think about it for a moment. Hey, you love America and our Constitution just like we do. Now, since that's the case, you're going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts to flags. And we've got your pipeline to that good stuff. It is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You can't miss it. That's going to take you directly to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag, proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. It is real conservatism for real conservatives. We are coming up on, well, it's just about 14 minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. Thank you very much for being along. 718-305-7176 is the number. We've been talking about not only the absurdity of Hillary Rodham Clinton, but the absurdity, the absolute absurdity of women in combat. Right behind that, incidentally, Now, I know that to many people this is going to sound like a cliche, and I mean it when I say that some of the best friends that I have are gays, okay? I know a couple of women who are lesbians. They are really tremendous, wonderful, lovely people, no question about it. I can't maybe I can understand the lesbian lifestyle a little, I don't know. The gay lifestyle, I cannot understand it. I cannot relate to any aspect of the gay lifestyle in any way whatsoever. But because I am a conservative, I believe that in this country, what consenting adults do behind closed doors is nobody's business but their own. And that's the way I feel about it. Now, the flip side of that is, if you're going to make your lifestyle and the choices that you make, if you're going to make that a public, if that's going to be the public persona that you wear on your sleeve, and if you're going to make everything about your life your orientation, well, I really don't know what to tell you about that. What that means is that everybody else has the right to express their point of view. Now, where I'm going with this is basically, I really don't think that gays ought to be serving openly in the military. I just don't think that that's a very good idea. I'll tell you why I think that in a moment or two. It is about 16 minutes after the hour now, coming up on 17 minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. More of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
Hey, what's up? This is Left speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Radio Free America, conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along tonight. The number is 718-305-7176. It's about 18 minutes after the hour. I appreciate your being along. I haven't really looked at the chat room lately. I'm sure that, there are people in there who are expressing their opinion. They're absolutely entitled to do so. The internet, fortunately, is still the internet's a private forum. It's not under the control of the government. It absolutely must not be under any circumstances. I cannot tell you how totally opposed to that I would absolutely be. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Unbelievable. However, I can tell you very definitely that government would love to take it over. There isn't any question about it. They would absolutely love to take it over, and I hope that all of us will do anything that is necessary to prevent that from happening. 718-305-7176 is our number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Anyway, we were talking a short while ago about women in combat, and we're talking a shorter while ago about gays being able to openly serve in the military. You know, if somebody said, well, you're gay, you're not allowed to vote, or you are gay, you're not allowed to own a firearm, or you are gay, you don't get a driver's license, I got to be honest with you, I would be the first one at the courthouse steps protesting and going absolutely ballistic over that. I don't believe in that. I'm a conservative. I believe in equal justice under the law. I believe in the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. It's one of the reasons why I'm opposed to the so-called progressive income tax, because it does not grant equal protection. But I digress. Service in the military is not an absolute right. There is no right to serve in the military. The needs of the service come first. The needs of the service are the primary factor. That is the only reason why we have a military in the first place, is the physical defense of the country. Let's go right to the phones. You are live on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Who's this?
Hey, Duke. It's Eric. It's Flyover Territory.
Eric, how are you doing? What's going on, pal?
Well, a couple of the things that you've touched upon actually directly affected back in my special operations days before I left the military 10 years ago. While the Don't Ask, Don't Tell was in place, I actually had a couple of troops, pardon the pun, underneath me, which it was not intended, actually. But as a mid-level NCO, and you understand that part of their life, and they're trying to, you know, because it just, in the case of a couple of them, it just sort of, it didn't slip out by something that they said. It was just by happenstance. And, you know, my attitude was, hey, you're a good troop. I'll keep this on the down low. No big deal. You know, because I don't care what your bent is, so long as you can put fire downrange, put it where it's supposed to go, keep your head about you, and do your damn job. Simple as that.
Now, let me ask you this.
Sure.
What branch were you in?
Army.
All right. So, and you said mid-level NCO, so you were first sergeant or sergeant?
No. No, I was staff sergeant.
Okay. All right. Very fun. Well, first.
After my bust.
Well, how high up did you get?
I got to sergeant first class. I got to
all right, now,
yeah.
Okay, that is three rockers under three chevrons. Do I have that right?
No, no, that's two.
Okay. Okay. All right.
That's
so
three. That's three chevrons and two rockers.
Okay, so in the Marines, that would be a gunnery sergeant.
Yeah. Same thing.
Okay. All right. Now, first off, let me thank you for serving our country, which, as I mentioned, is something that I've never done. And I cannot tell you how truly, from my perspective now, being almost 58, how completely and totally ashamed and disappointed I am that I never did serve our country. I wish I had. However, my fear is that I'm sure you will agree, there have always been gays in the military.
Oh, sure.
going back to ancient Greek times.
Well, okay, going back to Baron von Steuben, the guy who gave us drill and ceremony.
Was he gay?
Yeah. Well, suspected of being. There was never any
right.
concrete evidence. But, you know, but then again, remember, here's a guy who's from the... you know, the border regions of Belgium, you know, and he liked fine wine and fine clothes and, you know, frilly stuff.
Guy was basically like an 18th century Belgian fop, and he probably brought his very own personal dancing blackamoor along with him, right?
Actually, he had three different aides.
Oh, God. Is this a joke or...
No, it's okay. Not a joke. Actually, one of the sergeant majors that I served under a long time ago was a total history buff. I mean, this guy was a Revolutionary War reenactor of the Battle of Richmond.
Okay.
Which, by the way, when you look at the Richmond area, because the only war they think that matters is the War of Yankee Aggression.
Yeah, the warmth or their aggression, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Lincoln's War. Yeah,
but
or
they don't,
I call it the unpleasantness.
Yes, really, that little dust-up in the middle 1800s.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
what's really bad about it is that's something that's ignored throughout most of Virginia, the Civil War, because it's probably fresher in a historical perspective, and that relegates the Revolutionary War aspect to a back seat. But
yeah.
this sergeant major that I studied under, I learned more about the Revolutionary War in the 3.5 years I worked under him than all of my time in school.
It's interesting, Eric. I was a Civil War reenactor for a long time. In fact, we're going to be talking about the Civil War here in a couple of minutes on this day in Civil War history in January of 1863. But sitting around the campfire at the reenactments, there are guys who possess the equivalent of a PhD or two
right.
in Civil War history. I mean, it is... You know, the interesting thing about the Revolutionary War is that I think General George Washington realized at the very beginning that all he really had to do was not lose. You know, he didn't have to win. All he had to do was not lose.
Pull it to a draw.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it was. I mean, he had Cornwallis surrounded at Yorktown. And there was nowhere that Cornwallis could go, and there were no British troops anywhere else in any of the colonies, and that was the end of that. And that was it, and it was over, and they left.
He had no way of withdrawal of a safe fashion, because that is, and when you just look at it from a purely tactical point of view, it was clever. But let's face it. It's kind of like a fight. It's kind of like a 12-round prize fight. Okay, in the first 5 rounds, George Washington got his nose bloodied. He didn't go down to the mat.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I mean, he got bounced against the ropes and stuff, and it had to affect the morale of the guys, because if you think about it, at that time, you only had 36% of the country, which was only 13 colonies at the time, that really backed him fervently. The rest
That's
were kind of, the other third was kind of wishy-washy, and the other third was just flat-out Tories, and you couldn't trust them, and that's literally where kneecapping came from, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Kneecapping didn't start with the Irish. Well, technically, it started with the Irish here, not with the Irish in Northern Ireland. they just perfected how it was done to make sure the Catholics couldn't genuflect.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And
I had
to study about the Troubles, too, so it wasn't fun.
Okay. Yeah, I've got to be honest with you, Eric. That's a – I'm not really sure why, but that is a conflict that just never really captured my imagination, and I was just never really interested at all. And I guess it's because I just found the idea of English-speaking people – living in a democracy,
mm-hmm.
in a terroristic war over religion, to be so completely and totally out of the realm of what I thought the experience of English-speaking people in a democracy ought to be.
Right.
I just wanted to ignore. I didn't even want to acknowledge that it was going on.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people had that attitude, but another little cute little tidbit about the Troubles is that people arrested for terrorist sympathies was not just on the Emerald Isle. It was also up in Scotland, because you had a bunch of Scots sympathizers.
Well, the Scots and the English have never really gotten along all that well.
Right.
Just
well,
like
that, and that, right. It goes back to Cromwell and all the rest of it.
Absolutely.
A funny thing that's interesting about that is that one in every 25 members of the IRA and all its various offshoot factions was Scots.
Very interesting. Any Welshmen in there?
A few. Nowhere near as many.
Yeah, because the English, I think a lot of Americans think of England as you know, it's the entire island of Great Britain is England. That's not true.
It's not.
England is one of the three separate kingdoms on the island of Great Britain. The
right.
Welsh are one. The Scots are another one. The
yeah,
Irish
you'd
are
be surprised. Right, Duke, and you'd be surprised at how many Americans are illiterate when it comes to geography. When you try to explain where Wales is, you point to a map and you say, see that West Coast city called Bristol? Look just south of that. Bingo, there's Wales.
Yeah, there's Cardiff. Absolutely. Yeah,
right.
Wales.
You have to explain it to them, and they're like, oh. And it's kind of like the same way with the Revolutionary War. You have to explain to them how, considering technology of the time, there were no revolvers. There were no,
there were no
cartridge-based weapons. You literally had to make your rifle go the hard way. You had to do it the same way that the Chinese have been doing it for 200 years.
It wasn't even a rifle. Those were smooth-bore flintlock muskets.
Actually, no,
they weren't.
Ours were rifled.
Oh, we had rifle. Oh, was that? Well, yeah.
That gave us 150-yard
rifle.
Yeah, the Kentucky long rifle design gave us 150-yard advantage just in sheer ballistics alone.
Very
That's
interesting.
Why.
Now, what was the caliber? I mean, you know, the main weapon in the Civil War was a 57 caliber rifle musket.
Right.
What was the caliber of the typical Revolutionary War weapon?
Anywhere between 66 and 72 caliber.
Oh, Mike, almost 3/4 inch. And that was obviously a lead ball. They didn't have the mini ball then.
No,
that
they didn't.
Spherical lead ball moving at what I would presume was a very low muzzle velocity.
Oh, really low. Probably under 700 feet per second.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say 600 or 800 feet per second. And, you know, if that caught you in the gut, it's all over. That's it. I mean,
or try an extremity.
Yeah, you're going to lay there and you're going to bleed to death over a 20 or 30 minute period, and there was nothing that anybody could do to stop it.
Well, there was basic triage, but nothing compared. And see, that's another thing that's interesting about that is look at the medical advantages and advances in just an 80-year time frame.
That's right, the Civil War.
Up until the Civil War. You know, fighting off infection, basic triage. All the rest of that. And all these people who want to say, hey, war is so terrible. You know what? Our wonderful medical advances, thanks to DOD.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We often think of the Civil War as a time when people, if you got shot in the arm or the leg, they would simply hold you down and saw it off, and that was it. At least the Union had there was anesthesia. It was often chloroform, but sometimes it was ether.
Right.
But here's something very interesting that came about during the Civil War. The Confederates, of course, were very short on supplies during the Civil War, and to make sutures, they would take the hair from a horse's tail
or
mane.
Mm-hmm.
As a suture.
Yep.
And because it was stiff, they would boil it to soften it and loosen it up a little bit.
And by boiling it also made it partially biodegradable.
Well, not only did it do that, but it made it almost 100% sterile. And what they noted, especially Dr. McGuire, who was Robert E. Lee's surgeon,
mm-hmm.
noted that horses... sutures made of horse's hair that had been boiled, the infection rate was cut down by more than half.
Oh, easily.
No idea why. They didn't have a clue in the world as to why that was, but they noticed it. Very, very interesting. The Civil War, it was the last of the old wars and the first of the new wars. Every single thing that we have in modern warfare its very first iteration was seen during the war between the states.
Very true. You know? And, of course, when you're talking about those supplies, thank you, Commodore Foote.
Now, who was Commodore Foote? Who was that?
He's the guy who basically, via the ironclads in 1862, was able to run roughshod all over the Tennessee Valley. Cumberland River, Tennessee River. Oh, yeah. Even here in Montgomery County, where I am, the next county over, is where they had the Battle of Fort Donelson, which is, you know, one of those forgotten battlefields. Because it's not Chickamauga, and it's not Bull Run, and it's not Gettysburg.
Yeah.
And it's not Richmond. It's not Petersburg. And, you know, the list goes on and on.
The main naval action at Fort Donelson also involved an objective called Island Number 10, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Hey, Eric,
I was forced to learn that just because I live here. So.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Listen, I've got to run, and I love talking to you, and I hope that you will call me back next Monday.
Sure.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for protecting my country. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Have a good night.
Great evening, sir. All right, conservativenationradio.org, Radio Free America. This is Duke Brooks. Thank you very much for being running a little tiny bit late, but, you know, hey, that's the way it goes. Very interesting conversation with Eric in Tennessee. Thank you very much for calling. Anyway, going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to be talking about this day in Civil War history and more of your calls, so don't go away.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
My name is Ruth Rusi. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here, 23 minutes before the hour. That, of course, is the Ashokan Farewell. That was not a Civil War song. That, if you watched the Ken Burns series on PBS around 88 or 89, 1990, whenever it was, that was the theme, and it sure sounded like it came from the Civil War, but in fact it didn't. That was written and recorded by somebody named Jay Unger, I believe, in upstate New York in the 1980s. But in any event, today is January 28th, 2013. 150 years ago today, it was a Wednesday, January 28th in 1863. President Jefferson Davis wrote to Major General T.H. Holmes in the Trans-Mississippi that, quote, loss of either of the two positions, Vicksburg and Fort Hudson, would destroy communication with the Trans-Mississippi Department and inflict upon the Confederacy an injury, which I am sure you have not failed to appreciate. Obviously, Jefferson Davis, a lot of people revile President Jefferson Davis of the Confederate States of America. He had a very tough job. It's almost like forget about it from the very beginning. There were skirmishes at Indian Village, Louisiana, Nashville, Yorkville, and Colliersville, Tennessee, and a federal scout from LaGrange, Tennessee, toward Ripley, Mississippi. In St. Louis, a mass meeting ratified the Emancipation Proclamation, still another heavy snowstorm hit Virginia and the armies on the Rappahannock. At this point in the Civil War, it was approximately a month since the Battle of Fredericksburg, which was a Union defeat of the worst order. I mean, the Union Army was just losing almost every battle. Until the summer of 1860, the Union Army was just getting its rear end kicked. I mean, there's just no way around it. But in any event, it is now 40 minutes after the hour. And as I mentioned earlier, every Monday evening at this time on Radio Free America, we're going to be joined by my friend Kevin Wade. And Kevin Wade is a guy of tremendous common sense. Here's this Monday's Common Sense with Kevin Wade.
Many Americans were shocked that President Obama was reelected, especially with unemployment near 8% for almost 4 years. The price of gasoline doubled, America's credit rating was downgraded, and our national debt climbed to $16 trillion, all on his watch. With no experience in business or respect for the American system of free enterprise, the president lost an opportunity to lead an economic recovery and instead focused on delivering a government-run healthcare system like the ones Europeans and Canadians come to America to escape. Real economic growth takes place only when government gets out of the way, and the president's reelection will ensure more bureaucratic roadblocks to real recovery. Some thoughts on that after this.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Job growth occurs when people invest in businesses, and people only invest their money when they're sure they'll get a return. Businesses hire people, creating jobs, which leads to an increase in growth. Government regulators standing in the way of business scare businessmen away from expansion, which means no job growth. Government has roles to play, but dragging anchor behind job growth isn't one of them. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
Well, Kevin has a tremendous... Kevin is one of these guys that I think has a just a tremendous overabundance of common sense. You know, I wish everybody could get to meet Kevin personally because he really knows what to do and when to do it. Somehow, we have heard the same PSA now twice tonight, the one with the doctor in the emergency room about buzz driving. I don't know who schedules these PSAs, but whoever he is obviously a completely incompetent jerkweed. There's really no other way to describe it. What kind of an idiot would put a PSA in the middle of Common Sense with Kevin Wade that we already heard earlier tonight? What a jerk. Guy ought to be fired, whoever he is. When I find out who it is, he's going to, well, I'm really going to give him what for. You know, I don't know about you. I'm not really the world's biggest heavy metal fan. I mean, yeah, a couple of things here and there, but, you know, the way I look at it, different people have different tastes in music, you know? And I was shocked, and I mean shocked, to find that in the heavy metal crowd, there is actually a streak of conservatism. Hey, I'm not making this up. And my buddy Christopher Mantai is not either. Listen, I want you to tune in to Christopher right here on conservativenationradio.org every Friday night at 9 p.m., 8 Central, for Christopher's really excellent radio show called Things Not Seen. It's a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, Christian principles in the weird, wild, wacky, wonderful world of Washington, D.C., plus a little bit of heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure from time to time. It is Things Not Seen with Christopher Manti, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, right here on conservativenationradio.org. We are real conservatism for real conservatives. You know, before Eric called in from Tennessee, and Eric obviously sounds like a, you know, Eric, I've never met Eric personally. Eric is the kind of guy that I have admired my whole life. He's the kind of person that actually served our country and, you know, has been one of the guys actually keeping it safe and willing to go out there and put himself in very, very serious harm's way. And as I've mentioned, I just never did that. I wanted to go to Annapolis when I was a kid, but with my eyesight, they were like, get out of here and stop wasting our time. In any event, we were speaking a little bit about the idea of gays serving in the military. I'm against that idea. I am not in favor of discrimination against gay people just because they are gay. I am not in favor of changing the definition of marriage to suit them. That is a completely different subject. And we can talk about that some other time. Why don't we go to the phones? You are live on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Who's this?
It's Don from Maryland.
Hey, Don. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. I want to pick up on this Civil War discussion that you just had.
Most certainly.
And maybe you can answer this question. I could obviously research this on the Internet, but the thing that I find fascinating about the Civil War is that the military was organized along the lines of states, and the military was not so unified. President Lincoln called on the states to provide troops, and the Confederate military was organized along the states. You had regiments from Georgia, and you had Vermont. When did our military change and move away from that?
Sometime after April 15th, 1865, because before the Civil War, we were a collection of states. After the Civil War, we were a unified country.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that the Civil War did.
I think that's been lost. I frankly just learned that myself probably about 15 or 20 years ago. I didn't realize that our military during the Civil War was organized along the states. When South Carolina was the first state to secede and they fired on Fort Sumter, that was a state action. That was an action taken by the states, by a state against the federal government. And I think that's been largely lost, that our military at one time was, our army was organized along state lines. The President Lincoln called on states to provide military action against the South.
That's correct.
So state action.
You know, at Fort Sumter, some of the people that fired on Fort Sumter from the battery in Charleston were Citadel cadets.
That's right.
You know, the Citadel. That's where my dad went to college, but I always thought that was extremely interesting. But, you know, the Civil War is just an amazingly, it is a fascinating subject, and it was once described as a black hole into which historians disappear and are never heard from again. And you can spend your entire life studying the Civil War, and you will never, ever, ever know all of it. It can't be done. It's unbelievable.
As far as your topic on women serving in the military, it's my understanding that in the Navy, the submarine service, that is it true that women are forbidden to serve in the submarine service?
From what I understand, that is the case, yeah.
Well, how will that policy, if this policy is implemented, how will that policy be affected, I wonder?
Don, I got to be honest with you, I don't know the answer to it, and that's kind of one of those things that there's a part of me that says I just don't want to even think about going there. You know,
there
are places where men belong and women don't, and there are places that women belong and men don't.
Another issue for me is selective service registration. That was put in place in 1980, ironically, under Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
As a result of the Russians, in part, going into Afghanistan. Anyway,
it was in effect when I was in high school, and it ended right after I got out of high school.
Right, between 1973, 1974, and 1980. There was a six-year period in there, I believe. But anyway, that the Selective Service, that's an act of Congress, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Well, that, in my opinion, if this policy is implemented with women in the military as far as frontline service, the Selective Service law is going to have to be changed as a matter of equity.
Yes, it is. And, you know, if we ever do have a national emergency and people are drafted and somebody's daughter is drafted, especially some liberal woman, and her daughter comes home in a body bag with a flag, that's going to change some people's minds.
I think there's a large segment of the population that doesn't even know that we have a selective service. And I don't know if you've noticed, in the last year or two, there have been PSAs on radio stations across the country. They've sort of surfaced about requirements for registering.
Yep. If you're male,
you're not qualified for government positions if you don't register, and it's a requirement. I've noticed there's some emphasis on getting young people to register. My point is this: I think it will be quite a shock to Americans to realize that an 18-year-old female will have to go down to the post office or to another government building and register for a potential draft if this policy is implemented. To me, that's a major sticker shock.
Yeah, it's going to be a real eye-opener. Hey, Don, thanks so much for calling, my friend. I've got to move along, but thank you, and I hope to hear from you next Monday.
Absolutely. Great show.
Thank you, pal. Have a great night. All righty. All right, we've got one more call. You are live on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Who's this? You're on the air, sir. Okay, well, all right. Why don't we go ahead? We're going to take a quick break. I am running a little bit behind. I think the program director is probably going to, I don't know what he's going to do, but I understand that CNR.conservativenationradio.org has its own wing at the Huntsville unit of the Texas Department of Corrections for errant hosts who do not do things on time or what they're supposed to do. We are going to be joined by Barbara Buffing, who's going to talk to us about Women Patriots tomorrow night, coming up right after this, and more of your calls, so don't go away.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
This is Radio Free America. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org. I am Duke Brooks. Today, where I live anyway, was a rainy day and a Monday, but I'm really all not that down. I'm being joined by a very good friend of mine, Barbara Buffing, who's going to tell us what is going to be going on tomorrow night on Women Patriots with Brenda and Barbara. What's going on, pal?
Hey, how are you? Good show tonight.
Well, thank you for saying so. Appreciate that. I'll send you that $5.
Yeah. Well, we've got an awesome show tomorrow. Brenda's been doing her homework, so she's going to have everything. We're going to be leading up to the death of Ambassador Chris Stevens and the immediate aftermath and how our president and Secretary of State committed treason because they've lied and they passed it around to a lie. And then I'm going to go on a little rant about Hillary lying. And, you know, my rant is more on the hearings and just burns my blood when I even talk about it and think about it. But then in the second hour, we are going to have a special guest. Publius Holga is going to come on the show, and she's going to talk to us about how President Obama's unconstitutional act, she had written an article back in 2011, and she actually forwarded that to me, and I posted it on our page, Women Patriots, and it explains every part of the Constitution and the Federalist Papers that it where it shows that he did everything illegally and how he did it. So I'm really excited to get her input because Publius is she's a attorney. I believe she's retired with the attorney. And she is also a constitutional expert. So I'm really excited about having her on the show to discuss all that with us.
Well, I'm excited too, Barbara, and I can't wait to hear it tomorrow night. You know I'm going to be right there lurking in the chat room.
All righty then. So catch us on Women Patriots tomorrow. We are on at 6 Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, with our host Brenda Ward and me as the co-host on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for calling in, my friend. Have a wonderful evening.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All righty, this has been an awful lot of fun. I'm very, very glad that you were able to make it. Duke Brooks here. That will do it for us this evening, and I hope to speak with you again on next Monday night on Radio Free America. Bye-bye.